My name's Mustafa, and I guess I've been involved for the past several years, but particularly the last 2 years with the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, which is a direct action anti-capitalist, anti-poverty organization, which sometimes it's hard to kind of to see those politics in the work that's done through that organization. It is based in Toronto. It was initially a province-wide organization with the goal of building a real anti-poverty movement that's rooted in communities, but that wasn't just reformist or begging the state, but that can actually really challenge the state and challenge the power of the state, and through direct action, through different models such as what we call direct action casework, working with individuals on a case between, let's say, the landlord and the tenant, and going there, going to the landlord and taking a delegation and demanding justice for that tenant, or whether it be through immigration casework, which is also the same model but much more lengthy in terms of how you deal with the different communities. But lately we've been working on two particular campaigns, one which is called the Special Diet or the Raise the Rates campaign, working with poor people on welfare and disability in Toronto but across the province to get them a 40% raise. And obviously there's issues in terms of, well, is that a reformist demand? Is that really anarchist? Is that, how does that fit into the analysis? And especially the route we've done actions that have gotten us really nowhere that may seem really militant within that campaign, disrupting kind of the Liberal Party, the party that's in power in Ontario, their barbecue. We did a food grab at a fancy grocery store of $5,000 worth of food and redistributed it to people, but that wasn't really moving us anywhere. We weren't moving with poor people. We weren't actually creating a base that could actually challenge this government and actually win those demands, or at least really create those contradictions where the government couldn't just ignore it, those demands, but would actually either have to face us off or actually concede. So about a year ago, there was a kind of golden egg that was laid in front of our lap, which was that people in the province of Ontario could get an extra $250 for what they call a special diet supplement, or $250 for an extra $250. But it was this very kind of bureaucratic, you get a piece of paper signed by a doctor, and it was, well, how do you involve the politics, those radical politics of an organization that's based on direct action, that's based on anti-capitalism, and something that can seem very service-based, and actually challenge people's politics? And it's been a question that we've been struggling with for the past year, and how do we actually confront the government yet still get that money away from them and into people's hands and actually turn those people into organizers? Because a lot of the times we've registered, or we've gotten 4,000 people in the city of Toronto that extra $250 a month, which is real relief for poor people. That means they can actually stand up and fight, and they recognize that their only ally is this militant, direct action, anti-capitalist organization, that it's not a non-profit, or it's not an agency that's funded by the state, but a real grassroots organization with really radical politics, that people don't forget OCAP as being the organization that led what's called the Queen's Park Riot, or the Poor People's Riot, on the lawns of the provincial legislature, where people actually stood up and fought back against the riot police, against the government, and that people in Toronto didn't forget that, and the trust was built with all these poor people that we were registering and signing up because they knew we were serious. But questions around, well, are you really challenging the government because you're just getting these people this piece of paper and you're getting them their money? But where's the discussion of politics? Where's the discussion of struggle? Where's the, how are you actually organizing people? And I think that one of the things that we tried to accomplish through that organizing was those questions, and but dealing with them in a real practical way, that where we began to have organizing meetings where people, where we did begin to have more mass actions, and then you actually take people with you, that you don't sit there in the pie in the sky, well, we're going to wait for poor people to starve to death and maybe they'll come out rocks in hand and overthrow the state, that you actually had to take people with you through a process. And I think that's what was one of the major lessons. And through that process, we've begun to actually work in communities that we never even dreamed about 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. We get about 100 calls a day from poor people in the city of Toronto asking about this campaign, wanting to engage in the politics and then the work that we do. We have meetings in neighborhoods we never even thought of. Some of the poorest neighborhoods in the city of Toronto where we actually couldn't even work in before because there was an image of OCAP as kind of just being this kind of crazy kind of wingnut organization that really wasn't a poor people's organization. And now that kind of image has completely changed. They haven't forgotten about our politics, but the image and how serious we are has changed because people did, we have built a relationship and people do trust us and the work we've done. So they actually trust us when we're saying, well, let's take it to the next step. And within that campaign, because the government hasn't responded, and I think that's one of the goals, is not just to get as many people this money, which has taken already over $5 million from the government of Ontario, but to actually begin to pose a real political threat to them. So, I mean, one of the things that we're trying to do is have this mass hunger clinic in front of the legislature within 2 weeks, which is a massive undertaking, and trying to sign up over 2,000 people at once. So turning something that can seem very just service-oriented, very liberal, very reformist, into something extremely radical, where poor people are coming up, not just getting what they need and taking it from the government, but doing it directly in front of where the government sits, I think is an extremely important political gesture that people make, and has been quite the successful campaign. And I think some of the questions that are always kind of posed is this, you know, the questions of like the politics of this campaign. I think we've been able to really challenge them in our practice and move accordingly. And I think that after this, that we'll be able to even move even further and further advance that struggle and the politics of that struggle. Because I think that the whole, the kind of the pie in the sky kind of question in terms of the laundry list of demands, and if people aren't perfect, that that inherently that you kind of, you have to move without them. Or you either, or we sit back and we have to wait for people to come to us. I think we really have to stop thinking about who we want to work with in that light, that we actually have to, we do have, we are a step ahead of people because we wouldn't be in this room. And let's be very clear about that. Not to say that we're vanguards, or not to say that that we have all the answers, but we are a step ahead of the people, as we do have a vision. We do, in a way, always are trying to implement some sort of strategy, but we also have to remember we can't be too ahead of people, that we actually have to move with them, and that things are an actual process to get people to a point where they can actually challenge capitalism and also challenge power in the state. And I think that's one of the things that we've been trying to do with this campaign, while making it tangible and concrete for people, where it's not a barrier, our politics are not a barrier, and that people are learning through that experience what that means, and what it means, what direct action means, what anti-capitalism means, what it means to actually fight for dignity and justice in a way that isn't based on a service, that isn't just based on a begging a community organization or an NGO to kind of to help you, but do it in a way that is non-hierarchical, that you're working with people and that you're not above them, kind of lifting them up or giving them a hand, but that you actually, you stand with them I kind of didn't want to go into that. I kind of wanted to talk about something else. And I kind of wanted to talk about my experience. I work in the Special Diet Campaign, but particularly I work with taxi drivers in the city of Toronto, and that's the majority of my work, or organizing taxi drivers also through OCAP. And I think that's really important as well in terms of an anarchist vision and what a lot of people see OCAP becoming in the hopefully in the near future is a kind of a federated model, but a federated model of poor people's struggles and different poor people's struggles, and where they can actually be real allies and show real solidarity with each other, where poor people on welfare, Jane and Finch, are going to have solidarity with taxi drivers across the city, or that they can have solidarity with old women who sell vegetables on the street corner in Chinatown at Dundas and Spadina, who we also work with, or immigrants from the Somali community who we do immigration casework with. That's our actual vision, and that's my vision of what an anarchist federation would be. That it wouldn't be just a federation of anarchists, but it would be a federation of people who are actually struggling, who are actually challenging power, and who are actually the ones who are the brunt of the majority of the oppression faced by capitalism, because they're the ones who can actually challenge it. And for me, why organizing taxi drivers made sense in terms of my vision of what anarchism was, and the vision of actually being able to create a classless society, or to create a revolution, or to get us to a point of fighting for a revolution and being able to take away power from the state, was that looking at a variety of past experiences in organizing around kind of immigrant rights activism or no borders type of activism, and trying to work with immigrant communities, but that had a sense of a disconnect with kind of a class analysis, that somehow that there was this real disconnect, and you see that in that work, wherever it is, that there is a kind of disconnect, that you organize around a certain aspect of an immigrant's life, but then don't talk about why they immigrated, or you don't talk about the kind of the other daily struggles that they have to face, which is their working conditions. And so the ideal was to, for me, was that, and in taxi driver organizing, that there was actual an intersection of that kind of analysis, of an anti-racist analysis, of a class analysis, which kind of even led me to anarchism beyond just kind of Marxism, was that, we can talk about we can talk about borders, and we can talk about racism, and not just class, that you can talk about these other things as well, and these other types of oppression that for me stem from class. I mean, we can debate that, but and so taxi driver organizing was an intersection where you actually had thousands of people, highly educated, maybe even middle class, where they came from or where they originated from, who immigrated here, but were forced, because of the kind of racist policies in the West, to actually to work in probably the lowest wage job in major urban centers. And it's not just a single experience in Toronto, but in major urban centers in New York, there's the Taxi Workers Alliance, and the kind of the economic conditions that taxi drivers face there is very similar to that in Toronto, where we're trying to organize taxi drivers. And so in practice, to me, that was my anarchism. In practice, organizing taxi drivers brought all of those analysis together, and those were the people that could actually challenge capitalism. Those were the people that could actually challenge the state. And also what they brought as well was an extreme sense of power, that and the city knew it, and the state knew it. And one experience, we had a demo. Our first demonstration as the Toronto Coalition of Concerned Taxi Drivers was very weak, in the sense that it was maybe 10 taxi drivers and a handful of supporters, and it was based around racial profiling of taxi drivers, and the conditions they face, because the people who enforce their health and safety regulations aren't health inspectors, they're cops, that they have to face down the cops every day. And that there's a quote from a taxi driver that that there is a war on the streets of Toronto, that the only two people out at 3 a.m. are cops and taxi drivers. And who's getting screwed by who. And so, I mean, it was a very big step for taxi drivers to organize actually against the police, almost as a way you'd organize against your boss. And only 10 taxi drivers showed up, but they began to concede right away. They were actually really afraid, not just because of the level of corporate media, but of what of taxi drivers could actually do. And experiences in New York where taxi drivers shut down Manhattan, or in 93 in Toronto where taxi drivers shut down the financial district for an entire day just by turning off the keys to their ignition. That's the power that the police were afraid of and that the city was afraid of. And that to me is striving towards a revolution. To me, that's what I see as a real revolutionary force.
If you could finish up in a minute or two, or try and keep everybody below.
Okay. Okay, then I'll just... The kind of the nature of the work and the nature of the way the taxi drivers organize and the kind of the issues could seem really reformist as well. And what we do, the taxi drivers, we fight their tickets in the courtrooms as a service to the membership. What we're actually trying to do is form an independent union, that we're not out there on a union drive, that we're trying to form an independent organization where taxi drivers are paying into a defense fund to support each other, just the way that unions in the late 1800s would collect money for other workers' funerals is actually what taxi drivers have to do for their own funerals as well. So that's part of this defense fund, because there is no pension for taxi drivers. There's no you work every day and you take home what you have and then that's it. There is no security. There is no pensions. There's no benefits. There's nothing. It's actually, you start your day minus $150 if you don't have a car. So it's not even minimum wage what most drivers actually make. So fighting around these conditions, the demands are not extremely radical demands, but it's a process. And I think that that's the really important part about this, that this is an actual process, that they're challenging the police and that maybe they'll win some concessions, but the conditions won't inherently change. And they have to eventually realize that, and we have to be there when they realize that. That's our role. That's our position as well, that you can actually engage in those questions of why aren't their conditions actually changing, that you can win something, but you can't inherently change the nature of their work without talking about revolution, without actually talking about our ideals and our vision. And I think that's why community organizing is extremely important, because if we're going to try to actually build a revolution, then the majority of the society has to be radicalized and has to be for that revolution. And I think, and if we're serious about a revolution, if we're serious about anarchism, then we have to be serious about that work. And if we feel that that's not the work, then let's have a frank discussion about, you know, to not to be about military tactics, because then we just see ourselves as the only social force that can actually change society. And if we don't, then let's have that honest discussion about organizing, because that's what it's going to take. And kind of that's my vision, and hopefully and we can debate how we actually get there. But I think we all share the same vision, or we actually wouldn't be here. Thank you.